Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Bob Mendelson, and this is the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. Today we speak with Dina Sered in the greater New York area. We're going to talk about our brains and language. We're going to talk about third culture kids. We're going to talk about faith. There's a lot we're going to cover, so stay tuned. You can now find us and comment to us wherever you get your podcasts. Tell us what matters to you, what triggers your joy, what bothers you in the world. Let us know. We'll see where the Spirit leads us. Wherever you are just now, whether you're out for your evening constitutional, or you're here in Australia, or back in the United States with friends, or all by yourself with your headset on, hey, wherever you are, thanks for joining us these 18 minutes. Of note, the opinions are strictly my own and those of my guests. Today in history, in 1541, Spanish conquistador Hernando de Soto reaches the Mississippi. In 1886, Coca-Cola was born in Atlanta, Georgia. And this day is celebrated as VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, from 1945. And the 8th of May in 1933 is when Mahatma Gandhi started his 21-day fast, making his third fast for the improvement of Harijan's conditions. And that's the historical marker of the week. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Today we're going to interview Dina Sered, whom I've known since the middle of the 1990s. I think you'll really enjoy her perspectives on music and on faith and Israel. Oh, we've got a lot to talk about. Let's get right to the interview. Dina Sered, welcome to the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. I've known you for decades, and I was fascinated in meeting your whole family, your brother, your sisters, your mom, dad. Your dad's from Central America. Your mom's from South America. But where were you born?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm actually so impressed that you remembered all those details about my large family and what country. My mom is from Colombia. She was born there, and my dad in Guatemala. I was born in Queens.
New York.
Queens, right. New York.
And you speak a lot of different languages, and I speak a few of English, Australian, American. I speak those three. And we were talking just the other day about our brains and how amazing they are. What processes go when we try to find a word in another language?
A study had been done on teaching kids from different countries and cultures a language that is not their own, that it's not their mother tongue. And what they found, that the temporal lobe is what lights up when we start using language and when we start accessing language. For the first 3 years of life, those connections in our brain are made in a certain part of our temporal lobe. After the age of three, when we begin to learn yet a new language, because within those 3 years, you can have multiple languages that you're learning at the same time. For me, it was English and Spanish. So it lights up this certain part of my brain. Later in life, in high school, in fact, I started learning French, and it also lit up the temporal part of the lobe, but in an overlapping area, distinctly different. So anytime you're learning any additional languages after the age of three, this other part of your brain starts to light up, which is so interesting. And it completely makes sense when you're learning that fourth or fifth language, that if you're trying to find a word and it's not, you're not accessing it, you revert to that secondary language, and a secondary language word will pop up. And so you kind of laugh at yourself and you wonder why, but that's exactly what's happening. So when I was in Israel and I was improving my Hebrew, I would always find French words to add to my Hebrew. So I thought that was very interesting that you also said that you do the same thing when you're trying to find your Hebrew words and accessing Spanish words. So it makes sense.
Bizarre thing. And then you add to that getting older, which is another story altogether, but we're not going to go there today. Dina, talk to me about music and the role of music in your life, especially as it relates to religion and what you call worship music.
I've always loved music, and as a kid, I would listen to these old Carmen, Carmen, like the Christian singer, and he was very creative in his style. No song was the same, and I would always imagine myself part of his band. In fact, I would continue that imagination where everyone in my family was playing a different instrument on his band and on tour, and I kind of just always in. Love that idea of playing music together, being part of a team. When I the first time I was on campaign, I loved being part of the worship team. That was kind of what started me just having a desire to learn chords. At that point, I was only playing flute when I was 21, first time on in New York City. We'd have our chapel time, and that was such an encouraging part of my day. The worshiping God together with others that just needed to be filled with God's presence, and loved it. And God used it for his glory. Got to lead worship, lead songs in church in Israel for about 12 years, and I continued to use it. Here in the New York area, help with Celebrate Recovery on Wednesdays, help with our Sunday worship services from time to
Now,
time.
you mentioned you lived in Israel for 12 years. You've moved countries. You took your kids. You have how many children?
We have three, Dan and I.
And we talked about TCK. What is TCK?
Third culture kid, it's a study that I started maybe a few years ago when someone on our staff just desired help with moving families from one country to another. There was a common theme, and stress was one of them, helping having the need to acclimate from one country to another, and helping their kids also to deal with the changes in their world. So I read a book by David Pollack called Third Culture Kids, World Among Worlds, and it was so encouraging to me to know that the things that even I as a I'm a third culture kid. My parents are from two different countries. I was raised in a culture that wasn't from my parents' culture, so there's a mix of cultures. So I felt always very different. And trying to fit in and trying to understand things that were nuanced or part of the culture that was unseen. The idea of culture can be thought of as a tree. I've heard it explained as there's the exposed part of the tree, the green leaves, the branches, the trunk of the tree, and then the things that are happening underneath. the ground, which are the root systems. And it's those root systems that feed the tree and nourish the tree. And that it could be, you know, your ethics, your morals, your principles that really guide how the tree is going to look like. The trunk, just like it has rings when you slice it horizontally, it has history. And that history is very much part of what the tree has become. The width of the tree and the strength of the tree all comes from all those inner layers of history that has affected the tree. The branches are the government that it lives under, and then the leaves are the expression of the tree, which you could see in its fruit, you know, how the very visible, tangible way a culture is viewed from the outside. So all this is very deep and complex. So if you're placing a kid, a child, and raising them in one country, uprooting them, just like that metaphor lends itself to, and planting it in a new place, it eventually takes on some of the culture and character, and even some of the history of the surrounding culture.
You lived in Israel. Your daughter served in the IDF. When you watch what's happened in the world since the 7th of October, do you have hope for the world in which we live?
Absolutely, I definitely do. And even looking past October 7th at especially Jewish history and how things look pretty dismal, it looked like all hope was lost. And from different corners of God's perfect plan, he found a way of escape for salvation of Jewish people. If we think about the Holocaust, I mean, if Hitler were allowed to have continued, who knows how many more loss of lives. And so we know because God has been faithful in the past during the Spanish Inquisition, during so many pogroms in Eastern Europe. We're just so thankful that God is still sovereign and he does not allow for his people to be will never allow his people to be completely destroyed because of God's faithfulness. He's made promises to Abraham. He will fulfill those promises until Jesus himself is on the throne.
So your hope is based on the biblical record and God's faithfulness throughout history. What would you like to say to believers who are listening to this podcast?
I would encourage those that are hearing to pray for the believers that are in Israel, that they would be empowered by God's Spirit to bring that hope that is tangible, it is real. And he provides light and encouragement for all those who put their trust in him. So, yes, I do have hope that God is reaching out to Israelis in Israel and to those of us that are here with biting our nails sometimes at the things that we're seeing.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Your hope is not based on handshakes or treaties. You lived in Israel. You know that treaties last as long as the ink is wet, and then that's it. Can you be pro-Arab people and like you are committed to the God of the Jewish people, the God of the Bible? Can you be for the other guys?
Absolutely. I believe that you can be pro-Arab, pro any culture. In fact, God loves people. He died so that people can know him and be rescued from darkness and death and an eternal separation from God. And anybody who loves God will love people because people were created in God's image. And he has a heart to see not one particular people saved, but he came that all people might be saved. In fact, that's why we have a Jewish people at all. He desired that this people would be his special people, a testimony of God's faithfulness on earth, a people that would live their lives committed to him.
Dina, it's great to catch up. Thank you for giving me so much data to share with my audience, and people will be benefited from hearing and learning with you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our global audience?
Well, as a global audience, number one, thank you for hearing me out in the greater New York area. I'm just so thankful that there's people that are loving to hear about things that are happening all over the world and desiring to be a part of what God is doing in different parts of the world. So thank you for listening, and thank you, Bob, for having me on your podcast.
Dina, you're a joy. Blessings on you, your good husband, and those three beautiful children. Keep going. Keep sharing what you know to be true. And I can't wait to hear you whistle again. All the best.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
What do you think about all this? I think Dina has a lot of things to say. If you want to reach her, I'll put the info right there in the notes to this podcast. You could write me right there, comment on your Spotify or Apple podcast or wherever you want, or you could write me bobmendo@aol.com, and I'll be glad to pass on info to Dina or just to answer your question. That would be my pleasure. Thanks. Every week we read from a portion of the number one bestseller of all time. That would be the Bible. And this week I'm going to let Dina read a verse she really liked and was part of our interview.
But instead of being anxious for that, God says in his word not to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there is hope in whatever situation that we find ourselves in Israel. There is hope because God is on the throne. He has faithful love towards us and towards his people.
And we want you to have that same hope. I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Shalom. Until next week then. When things seem bleak or uncertain, look up to God. He's in his heaven. And Bob's your uncle. Shalom.